The dawn of a new era. Even more of what you asked for from your talk radio station.
It's Glenn Beck.
The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
New shows and more news.
Now on North Central Florida's talk leader, 97.3.
The Sky.
Well, we have a very special guest in the studio. May I introduce, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ludi Bond.
Yeah, and the crowd goes wild. Thank you.
You received your doctorate in what studies, I'm sure, related to forestry?
Sure, prescribed fire communications from the University of Florida School of Forest, Fisheries, and Geomatic Sciences. So 5.5 years of my life.
Wow.
And yeah, so July was commencement. So thank you.
Yeah, I was just reading a book on geomatic sciences
what?
The other day.
That's sure
like
you
coffee.
Were.
It's like
sure.
coffee
sure
table
were.
Reading.
Yeah.
Was that the National Geographic?
I stick with the forestry. I'll do the forestry part.
So congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. That is awesome. You also have a child, adult, mm-hmm. that is a firefighter?
She is, yeah. Ash is a forest ranger with the Florida Forest Service.
Ash, so really?
I know. Can you believe that? Yeah, right.
That's her name.
It
so,
is.
Yeah, she works with us. She's based out of the Hawthorne area. But she went on her first Western Wildfire assignment this year, and then she's been out with our folks on saw crews. So
what's a saw crew?
Yeah, so they run chainsaws. So when we have storms like we've had recently with the hurricanes, the Florida Forest Service sends teams, crews of sawyers out to clear roadways and help folks get in and out of their house, help first responders get where they need to go, get the linemen out there to get the power back up. So we've been working steady for the last few months with these saw crews around the state.
Yeah, I think. Especially, you know, up around Steinhatchee and that whole coastline, I think a lot of people that don't live in that area or visit that area don't realize how wooded it is to get to the beach, to get to the areas where a lot of people live. And when a bad storm comes in, you're cutting your way in or you ain't going in.
That's right. First thing you need is access, because you can't help folks if you can't get to them.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's you got to save lives. So there's people waiting sometimes. Oh, and along the lines of that subject, you were talking about natural disasters and how they could relate to each other. In other words, hurricanes in relation to wildfires. What would be the nexus there?
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting is a lot of people don't think how one natural disaster will impact another. So Hurricane Michael blew down a lot of really large timber several years ago. And then in a few years, all that timber was really dried out. And we had some wildfire issues there from that big timber. But let's look at Hurricane Ian. So we had storm surge coming in and salt kill with vegetation for a couple of miles inland from that storm. Now we just had Helene and Milton. Same thing. We had incredible storm surge. So salt water came in, salt water intrusion, salt kill with vegetation. So what that means is when fire season kicks up, you've got all that dead dry vegetation sitting there waiting for an ignition source. So we certainly may see some wildfire issues on the coast of Florida this year.
That's interesting. I didn't see that line, but I was over this Washington Oaks area mm-hmm. over on the East Coast.
Right.
And how dramatic that was in a very forested, green growth kind of area. And then next time you go, you realize this stuff is all dying. And the next time, it's dead, gone. And then, yeah, my little brain goes, oh, I wonder if that was salt water. And indeed, what an impact. I mean, this was a large area. And I mean, the vegetation was just gone.
Yeah.
So when that happens, mm-hmm. now you have all these dead trees and other vegetation, then all you need is a spark, right?
Yeah, and if we have heavy frost this coming winter and then we move into the spring and we have any kind of drought situation, that's going to make the fire hazards increase even more.
Mm. But
yeah.
But at least in Florida, because of you and the Forestry Service, we're very proactive about prescribed burns and cleaning out as much of that fuel as we can, right?
Yeah, we lead the nation in prescribed fire. Mm-hmm. We burn, this year we're breaking some records, over 2.6 million acres of prescribed burning here in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And no other state can touch anywhere near what we do here. So we are the role model for a lot of states, like California. They're looking to do what we, because we are so successful. We still have a high number of wildfires. A lot of them are lightning caused. But we just don't have the large wildfires we did over 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been out west many times, but mm-hmm. having gone out there recently, there was several wildfires that were kind of taking place. And it's one thing to fight a fire under any conditions, but in mountainous terrain, It just seems almost impossible.
They're hard to access, and then the fire behavior is different depending on the topography.
Right.
Yeah. So we're flat, so we know fire's just going to run straight forward, not uphill or downhill, really. But we don't have the Santa Ana winds they have out west, but we sort of have sea breezes. So we've got that. One nice thing about being in Florida, other than Hawaii, we're the only state surrounded by as much water as we are. So our air quality tends to stay really pretty
humid.
Nice.
Humid.
Yeah,
right?
Humid.
But the winds
are always shifting and moving because of the sea breezes, right? And off Lake Okeechobee and Lake George, you get sea breeze effect off that, too. So air's not stagnant, other than here in Gainesville in August.
I've seen.
It's oppressive.
Okay. Yes.
It's oppressive, yeah.
I know what you mean.
That's right.
In California, too, the canyon effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just like if you've ever been to like Chicago or really any big city where the wind gets concentrated because of the height of the buildings. Mm-hmm. Think about a canyon, the same effect. And you've got, it gets to hurricane strength, some of the winds, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. And it's all, you know, it's fire coming at you, not just wind.
That's right.
You wanted to talk about debris, kind of a headache for a lot of folks. Some people live in the city. They see smoke. They call. It's the neighbor burning stuff, may or may not be legal. If you want to address that whole thing, please do.
Yeah, so a lot of folks are seeing a lot of the storm debris still on their streets and around their communities, and it's going to take a while. It could take weeks or months for all of that to be picked up and moved away. So in the meantime, that could mean that people determine they want to burn their vegetation on site, which, depending on where you live, it may be legal, it may not be legal. But that just means as more and more people are burning their hurricane debris, we're going to see more and more smoke in the area. And we have really nice cool temperatures at night, so people are leaving their windows open. We certainly can understand that. But people could be smelling more smoke in the area based on people burning their yard debris.
Yeah, I have a neighbor, and they're great people, but he has this fetish about burning his leaves that he collects with his vacuum-style lawnmower.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he learned this, but he can burn a small amount of leaves and make a lot of smoke and make it last for hours and hours.
Yeah.
It's almost like magic, except it's evil magic.
Well, the options that people have as more people are burning their yard debris, they can either be patient and understanding and just realizing this isn't going to last forever. People are maybe choosing to burn their hurricane debris. Or you can haul your debris away if you choose not to burn on site.
If you have the ability.
You can haul it to a collection site. Or you can burn it on site. And so if you choose to burn your yard debris or your hurricane debris on site, realize it's only vegetation. You cannot burn household items, plastics and aerosol cans and rubber and that kind of thing. If your pile is greater than 8 feet in diameter, you need an authorization from the Florida Forest Service. Not all pile debris need an authorization from my agency, right? So if it's smaller than 8 feet, 8 feet or smaller, you don't need an authorization from us. And then there's setbacks. You need to make sure whether we authorize or not, there are legal setbacks you must meet. 25 feet from your home, 25 feet from the woods, 150 feet from like your neighbor's home or neighbor's barn, that kind of thing. And then 50 feet from a public paved road because you don't want to put smoke on the roadways.
Wow. Well, yeah, that makes sense too.
Right.
Okay. Thank you for defining that.
You're welcome.
And then hopefully people will adhere to that and we'll be a little bit safer. And hopefully it won't be as smoky because that becomes quite irritating, literally, doesn't it?
It does. And for safety tips, one thing we really want people to know, and this is year-round, not just when you're burning hurricane debris, make sure that you are staying with your burn pile at all times. Have a shovel, have a water hose, something like that nearby, just in case it gets out of hand a little bit. You know, you want to make sure you stay on top of it. And realize if your fire escapes, you could be liable for suppression costs. So
yep.
There, yeah.
That might have caused some attention there.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Ludi Bond, thank you so much. Dr. Ludi Bond, thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
Right, Bob.
Florida Forestry Survey. Hey, keep up the great work. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, and I appreciate it.
Always our pleasure. So much more to talk about. Happy Friday, my friends. The weekend is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.